I want to welcome those of you that are joining us by podcast and those that are here this morning. This is lesson number 10. And if you are a born-again Christian, then the prior nine lessons that deal with repentance, water immersion, spirit immersion, that's just kind of fundamental foundational teaching. But I really wanted to get that down for people that would maybe have never been born again of the Spirit, born again of the water. Let them know what God has available to them and the joy that's in that and the sustaining power. Today, however, we want to go on to lesson 10, and we're now moving on to when we have been born again and we have received the Spirit of Christ into our hearts and our lives, that we are becoming God's government on planet Earth. And I know a lot of us maybe never realized what God's plan is, His eternal plan, but His plan is not for us to go to some place called heaven and play harps and sing for throughout eternity. The world will go on. It's a world without end. A new age will be ushered in. And if you will study, you will find out that God's purpose in the life of a believer is to bring the kingdom now. But to put it more simply, we are actually in on-the-job training to reign and rule the earth in the world to come. And we have to realize that what we are doing now is we are learning His concepts and His precepts, and we are walking worthy of the calling that we can be chosen to reign and rule with Him. So we see where, speaking of the world to come, that first off there is a kingdom, and every kingdom has a king. And many people may not understand all the sorrow, sickness, and death in the earth now. Well, you need to understand that God is not the God of this present world, that the devil is the God of this present world. And Christ came, He interjected Himself into time that He could give an opportunity at salvation for when this earth is cleansed and when God's wrath comes to take the planet back over that He created, that's now inhabited by aliens and by enemies of God. And so were some of us until we begin to walk halakha, until we begin to walk according to the precepts and the righteousness that God has. And that's why you're here this morning, and I commend you, is to learn how to be a righteous person. So in Matthew chapter 6, He says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Every child that's ever taught the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come." What are we talking about? It's when the kingdom comes to the earth. Someday when the Lord returns in New Jerusalem, which is a cube city, will hover above the earth. The righteous God, the government of God, that's where we will reside. And then people will be able to come into that city. They will not live there. Only the bride of Christ will live there. And we will, just like David divided the priesthood up into courses, we will serve our time on the earth and we'll go back to planting our gardens and building our log homes or whatever it is we want to do in the New Jerusalem on our time off. And so we learn that He says, "Thy kingdom come." But yet in Matthew chapter 3, Christ had us pray that, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, how? Even as it is in heaven." So we are helping establish the kingdom in the earth. Now we realize that that's not accomplished, that the righteousness does not prevail until after the second coming of the Lord, that actually the opposite, darkness prevails because good men have done nothing. And I really feel as Christians, I know I didn't become one until I was almost 30, but really most Christians, we're not organized. We have been taught some passive, feel-good, love religion, and therefore we lose the battle in the earth. And so our King of Kings comes back with a sword, and He does what needed to be done. He slays all those that would not bow a knee to Him. That's why He says, "I've come to bring a sword. You obey or you die." And many people don't get that concept because of their religious upbringing. And so in Matthew 3, whenever Yeshua Jesus is introduced to the crowd, John's opening statement is, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." At hand is a Hebrewism for it's here, it's now. Now it's the kingdom in part that's going to live in us that are in training, that accept the kingdom. And then in John chapter 3, we see where Jesus Himself was speaking to one of the rulers of the Jewish people, to Nicodemus, and He says, "Except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." We cannot rule and reign with God except we are in agreement with Him and we are doing His oracles and His functions in the earth according to His Spirit. We have not we have become fools for Christ's sake because we have put on the mind of Christ. And so our life is on the job training to run this kingdom that is coming. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 12 says, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him." And I've just thrown a few scriptures in here so that the things that I'm teaching, I'm not just pulling out of the air, that we are going to rule and reign. Book of Revelations, which covers the 1,000-year-long day, the seventh, the Shabbat of the Lord, the Sabbath. And they sung a new song, Revelations 5, 9, and 10. Here they are gathered around the throne. Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals. God manifests himself as a lamb coming forth out of the throne. Thou was slain and has redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue, people and nations. And God has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign where? On the earth. So if you don't have this concept, this is not just my opinion. This is biblically teaching, taught that is our purpose. We are, and so what we're doing now, to sum it up, is if you can't establish righteousness now, then you certainly, and I'm not saying this with the judgmental spirit, I say this with meekness and love, you certainly are just playing a game. And most Christian religion has become just some emotional feel-good where we listen to some music. But if you really want to be a reigner and a ruler with Christ, then you obey the word of the Lord. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And so, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, Revelations chapter 20 and 6. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So many times, in our low moment in living for the Lord, because it is a seasonal thing, we're not always feeling chipper in the Holy Ghost, but we keep our eye on the prize, and we recognize the fact that even though my flesh may not feel like doing the right thing, even though the odds are stacked against me and I could do something incorrect and maybe help myself along, we realize that we have a higher order to answer to. And if we're someone that will take bribes, if we're someone that will stoop, if we're someone that won't handle God's money correctly, if we're someone that lies, that cheats, that's a talebearer, certainly we wouldn't be someone that we would want to sit on the Supreme Court in the kingdom of heaven when it comes. We're looking for righteous people. We are proving our desire to be righteous now. That's what we're doing. And if we're not proving that, then we have a head knowledge only of God, not a heart desire. And that may be a little rough, but I believe that's biblical teaching. Revelations 22 and 5, and then we'll get into the lesson. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now, reigning's not playing a harp on a cloud and being good. So we've established that. So I want to get on today, because what is the kingdom of God? There is one verse that I believe sums up the whole entirety of what God's kingdom is all about. And when I read above it and below it, you could think you're taking it out of context. You're not. But the writer of Romans, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us the kingdom of God's not what we eat. It's not what we drink. In other words, when we get into what Jesus says a righteous man is, we are going to see where the Pharisees that told you they were righteous, that tried to convince you they're righteous by obeying all the 613 commandments that were in effect at that time, that their righteousness wasn't very weighed with God in the balance of much worth, because he says, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. And we'll get into that. So the kingdom of God, here's what it is. It is first righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, in the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God, you cannot operate in the kingdom. It's impossible. I'll just tell you right now, it's impossible. You can't even grasp all the concepts. Because the first thing we do when we're born again is we have made war with our spirit and we have surrendered ourselves. We have truly, I've baptized people, which means buried, that aren't really dead. And that's why Yochanan, John said, therefore bring forth fruits meant for repentance. I used to baptize people the second they wanted to be baptized. Now I wait a while. Because if they really desire to live for God, they'll keep coming back. I'm through baptizing people that aren't dead. They never receive the Holy Spirit. They never go on to amount anything in the kingdom of God. I'm not judging them. I'm just telling you by observation that this thing is a desire in our hearts. So I want to cover today, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. This is, I want to take today the topic of the first thing that the kingdom of God is and will be, and that is righteousness. Now the scripture gives us a very complete picture of what the kingdom is and how it will function. This one scripture, it's going to function in righteousness, there will be peace, and there will be joy. Let me tell you something. If you have those three things in your life, you're a very satisfied person. And if you're in the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, those three things are operating. And within that, those three little descriptive terms, it contains all of the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts, everything that Christ has promised us. So I want to look, because I'm big on the rule of first mention. If you're not familiar with the rule of first mention, a lot of times what you can do is you can go to the first place in your Bible that the word is used, and then you can understand later. It's like when Adam knew Eve, K-N-E-W, and a child was born. And that's when Jesus later in Matthew says, because that's the first place the word new was used, later in Matthew Jesus says, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never," K-N-E-W, "I never knew you." We were never intimate. New birth never came forth. And so this is the rule of first mention. This is why I always in my teaching will share with you the first place the word is used. The first place out of 302 times in your Bible that the word righteousness itself is used in the Scripture is in Genesis chapter 15. And it begins with what we call the father of the faith. And actually the Bible calls him that. And that is a man named Abram that God added the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is the hey, which stands for breath, which means spirit. And that's why God changed his name to Avraham, added the hey to his and Sarah's name, because it represented, he added the spirit to their life. And with the spirit in their life, then therefore they could follow God. And so we see where, and Abraham says, "Lord God," God says, "Abraham, if you'll do this, 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 leave your country, leave your kindred." And Abraham had a very logical answer. He said, "God, what will you give me?" And we all say we serve God because we love him. I don't know if I do or not. I like to think I do, but if he wasn't God, I don't know if I'd serve him. Is that too real for you? But the truth is, even God understands our frame, and even God knows if you don't get your eye on what he's going to pay you, you won't serve him. That's a biblical concept. Even the Apostle Paul says, if I didn't have my eye on the prize, I probably wouldn't make it. So I first want to encourage everyone hearing this, keep your eye on payday. That's why you put up with those bosses you put up with, the jobs and the customers and the all this stuff. And so Abram said, "What will you give me?" And God says, he says, "Behold, you've given me no seed, and lo, the one born in my house is my heir." He's talking about Ishmael. "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be your heir, but he shall come forth out of your own bowels, that one will be your heir. And he brought him forth abroad, said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said, so shall thy seed be. And Abram believed the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness." Now, this is a very interesting statement, because what we're going to see is then God is going to give to Moses the Torah. He is going to record the instructions of God, and we're going to see the actions of what God expects for a righteous man to do. I want you to understand that Melchizedek and Abram both predate the law. And therefore, I'm telling you this for a purpose. All this church teaching and everything we're doing to prepare people, God can turn around, look at a man's heart, and him not have the knowledge that you're going to receive, and God is the judge of who is righteous or not. So it is not the church's job to judge heaven and hell on people. That I do not do. My job is not to water down the word. My job is to teach everything that God has allowed us to understand, and then as he reveals it to you, it is your job as to what you're going to do with it. So it was because this little thing that Abram did, God said, "I've only asked you one thing." Abraham believed the Lord, said, "I believe what you've said." He says, "That's righteousness." So with that, I want to go on into the lesson. What is biblical righteousness? Well, in Leviticus chapter 19, we're going to see God speaks to Moses and says, verses 1 through 4, "Tell the congregation of the children of Israel, you shall be holy." Now, this is a rhetorical question. Holy means set apart. It does not mean you wear a robe and walk around with your hands clasped together and pack a 5-pound Bible. Holiness means you are set apart. Set apart to what? You are not walking in the latest fads, the latest trends, glorifying America's favorite idol or American Idol. In other words, you are set apart, and the way you're set apart is you are walking according to your king, not the king of this world. So that's what holiness is. Holiness is I don't cuss, I don't smoke, I don't drink. I mean, that can be a part of it, but holiness is you're now set apart. Others can do certain things, you can't, because you are being obedient to the laws of God. And so he says, first off, tell the congregation, I'm talking about what is righteousness. This is the first step of the kingdom to come and what we should work on now so we will be accepted into the kingdom. So the first step is, you shall be holy because I'm set apart. I'm holy. You shall fear every man, his mother and his father. Honor your mother and father. It doesn't say respect them. It doesn't say do as they do. It says to revere them, honor them. And let me tell you, if you're not a tithe payer or an offering giver, I hope it's because you're taking care of your parents with that money. Do what you need to do to be a righteous person. Are you with me? And I don't care if they've abused you, molested you, whatever, you still revere those people. That's one of the commandments of the Lord. He says, turn ye not into idols, nor make yourself molten gods. I'm the Lord your God. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of your field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of the harvest. And thou shalt not glean the vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of your vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Now, this goes along with whenever in the New Testament he tells us, if they will not work, let them not eat either. I know we have these places that go downtown and hand out sandwiches, and they do all this stuff for the street people. Guess what? Those street people are still there 20 years later. It's still the same people they're handing out sandwiches to. God is turning around. We are to honor the fatherless. We are to honor the poor. We are to clothe the naked, give food to the hungry. And the way they would give food to the hungry is they had to come pick it. They had to come do something for it. But it was the job of the wealthy, the landowners that grew the food, to be sure that it was made available to them. They didn't package it up and put mayonnaise and get it just like they wanted. And let me get off that. So we're going to see where, as we operate in the principles of God, what the principles in the world to come will be like. You shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. You shall not swear by my name falsely. Now, if this is boring to you, it'll make some sense here in a little bit. These are the qualifications of God's instruction of how to be a righteous person and how we are to operate our lives that we can be one that sits on the thrones of reigning and ruling in the earth. You shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. This is cursing. What we call cussing, when people say, oh, that and blank this, that's not cussing, folks. That's probably a very poor judgment, and it's rude and it's crude. Cursing's when you use the name of the Lord in vain. That's what cursing is. We learn as we go further into this, we have liberty. Paul said, I understand all things. I've got a lot of liberty because of my understanding. Doesn't mean I should do them. But our religious heritage teaches us a lot of things that we make judgment calls that God doesn't see like our religion has taught us. Let's go on. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. I was trying to give you a license to cuss. Not really. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. If you hire a poor person to work for you, you pay him daily. That's what he's saying. Your yard keeper, whomever. They can't wait like you can. All that time. So this is if I were to bore you, I'd give you 613 instructions, and this is what we're going to reign and rule with. These are, when people come to see us, we're going to be the righteous judges, and it will cover every aspect in theory of life. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind. Thou shalt fear the Lord. I am the Lord. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness thou shalt judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Now, I can take every one of these Old Testament instructions, and immediately your mind is going exactly what the apostles taught. You're going to what Jesus taught. Don't those that desire to sit up front, unless you're bid. I mean, I can turn around, because there's not going to be any change from the Old and New Testament. If there was, see, it's not two Bibles, it's one that fits harmoniously together. That was our American teaching. Some churches threw out the instructions and just hold up the New Testament. That's why we have 40,000 denominations. You can make the New Testament say anything, but when you lay it on the schoolmaster, it only says one, and it's rightly divided. Thou shalt not go as a talebearer, when Paul covers this in the New Testament about women busy with tongues this long. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Verse 17, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt anywise rebuke thy neighbor, not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of the people. Jesus says, what do you do to your enemy? He says, do good, heaping coals of fire upon his head. And that doesn't mean seeing hell down on him. What that means is giving into him a way to start his fire the next morning because they didn't have gas logs. In other words, you bless your enemy. You do right to those that do what? Wrong and he despitefully use you. Yes. And you shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with the divers kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field. And so a lot of people take this, and we even turn it into what we're doing today with genetically altered seeds and feeds and the problems we have. The reason, in my opinion, being a health nut in study, that I think the reason we see all these gluten problems coming on is because people don't realize they're eating genetically modified wheat products. We didn't used to have these. And everything you look at goes back to the love of a better profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, and that's the root of all evil. We got to make more. How much is enough, folks? And so we see it in our food chain. We've got all the cancer issues we've never had before. I can get off of that. All right. Whoever so lie carnally with a woman, that is a bondmaid betrothed to a husband and not at all redeemed nor freedom given her. She shall be scourged. They shall not be put to death. Now, you remember about the death sentence for adultery, but here he's saying if this man goes into a slave woman can't protect himself against the advances of a slave owner. And so she's not, even though she's lied with him, she's, in other words, it's just. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm going to give you some chapters that you can read later without going through all these things. But I'm just sharing with you how this lays out the laws. Deuteronomy 6, 20 through 25. And when thy son asks thee in time to come, saying, what means the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then you shall tell him, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, upon his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day, and it shall be our righteousness. Here's what was going on. We're reading the commandment of Passover that we just celebrated. And every Passover, we are to tell the story to our children. We were sinners. God delivered us by the blood of the Lamb. And the reason we're able to recline tonight and eat and dine sumptuously is because God has blessed us, because we have been walking according to His statutes. And therefore, he has preserved us alive, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Now, the problem that you're going to endure as you go through these lessons is with much knowledge comes much sorrow. And one of the biggest shackles you're going to have to break to go on and really be a righteous person of the Lord, used in the kingdom come, is you're going to have to not worry about what your friends, your family, or anyone else thinks, says, or does. Because you will find out that carnal Christians do everything they can to eradicate any of the teachings of the Word, because the blood of Christ has covered it all and they are eternally saved. And you'll find out they may be. That's God's business, and I hope they are. And I'm not judging any man. I'm a very liberal man, a very merciful man, a very forgiving man. However, I'm also a man that looks at the Word, and I'm trying to tell you that I've had to separate myself in love and heart from a lot of things, because a lot of people do not choose to grow in God. Doesn't make them bad. It's just like kind breed like kind, and birds of a feather flock together. You're going to find that iron sharpeneth iron. So if you're running around with a bunch of dull-witted people that have no desire for the things of God, but they're all into the world, but they're Christians, well, that is... 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 20. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. God loves us. He delights in us. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. Now, isn't it funny, all of us, when we go through a situation, we'll say, well, God's against me, and it's because we know we were doing some things we weren't supposed to do. Well, I don't believe it works like that. But it is a repetitive theme all throughout the Old Testament. God has rewarded them according to their righteousness. And when they would walk in the commandments of the Lord, by design, the outcome was always victorious. When you walk not according to the commandments of God, God doesn't have to do anything, because you're already on the wrong road, and it will lead into error. It will lead into a problem. So walk in righteousness. You'll be blessed. For I've kept the ways of the Lord, have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me. His statutes I did not depart from them. I was upright before him. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness. All right. So if I didn't bring this up a while ago, read Deuteronomy chapter 24 and chapter 25, and it's going to fill in a lot of the things I'm about to share with you. So I just want you to get that in your notes. Deuteronomy 24 and 25. Psalms 15, we'll like this. David writes, he says, "Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle?" Who's going to go to the heavenly city? "Who will dwell in your holy hill? He that walks uprightly, worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart." I told Shirley a week ago as I began studying this subject for these lessons, I said, boy, this is revitalizing my life. I've let so many things slip because I have forgotten that God is weighing me in the balance, that he is looking towards someone he can trust with more than silver and gold, but can trust with running a kingdom. And this righteousness issue is something that'll really sharpen you. And you'll realize, man, if I don't stay in a mind of prayer and I don't stay in the things of God, your righteousness just somehow escapes. It does not happen, or at least mine doesn't come naturally. Yours probably does. Now watch this. So who's going to live in that city? Who's going to reign and rule? Who that walks uprightly, works righteousness, speaks the truth in his heart? He that backbiteth not with his tongue. We're looking at kingdom principles. And God's the judge. God's everything we do is recorded, so we don't get away with any of this. Nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. But with honor them that fear the Lord, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that does these things shall never be moved. So I'm just giving you a few of the scriptures you need, and without having to go through all of them, I want to read to you basically what condensing them all down, what a righteous man is. Number one, according to the word of God, a righteous man first fears God. That'll keep you living for him. I'll tell you, I've had a reoccurring dream where I've woken up in the belly of the earth in a stone coffin hundreds of miles beneath the earth for eternity. That'll keep you living right. I don't want to go to the pit. You see, you don't realize when you leave here, you're either going to the darkness's domain or the light's domain. And darkness is worse than anybody here can imagine. That has delivered me from the pit. I know when I was in Rome the first time, and we went to where supposedly Peter was in the dungeon, and the hole under the floor that went down to the sewer, and they drop you down in there literally, and there was no way out, a little stone room underneath. You talk about claustrophobic. To spend eternity like that? Forget it. One that fears God. Say, well, I wouldn't tell my kids that. Fear God's beginning of knowledge. One that trusts God. Now, I'm boiling these down, but this is the list. One that's devoted to God's instruction. He gives 613 instructions. There's 271 that are enforced to us here in America. There's another 26 if you live in the land of Israel. He seeks out and listens to understanding, discernment, and wisdom. He seeks out, not people that agree with him. But he seeks out discernment, understanding, wisdom. One that pursues justice in judgment and statutes. One whose decisions are not influenced by another's stature in society or the lack of their stature therein. Takes no bribes. Has accurate balances or measures used in business. Seeks humility. Speaks what is right, righteous, and truth. Jesus, I can use a scripture on every one of these. I can bring New Testament scripture. Jesus said, "Let your yeas be yea and your nays be nay." Isn't it funny how most of us, if we open our mouth and try to go beyond that, the older we get, the more we learn, the less we say, the better off we'll be. Because usually we take something this big and we make it this big, or we speak with the intention to try to influence your decision so I can get what I want. Speaking truthfully, you're going to find out, is a full-time job. Can I get an amen in the room?
Amen.
All right. I'm going to not tell my stories, but I'll tell you, you know, it's funny. Sometimes when someone giving you a bunch of compliments, you wonder how much it's going to cost you later. Okay. Someone that enthrones the word in his heart. Mercy, kindness, and fairness are your responses to any situation. Rejects profits from unrighteous dealings. Worships no idols. Now, as you read these things in the Old Testament, you'll see where these all come from. Does not give false testimony nor shed innocent blood. Keeps sexually pure. Does not steal, lend at interest, accrue interest. Does not carry or repeat false rumors. Boy, I'll tell you what, how many times have I made the mistake of repeating what I heard only to find out there was absolutely no truth to it? Or been influenced by someone telling me something and be mad as could be, and then when I hear the other side of the story, the one I'm angry at changes. helps even their enemies, clothes the naked, feeds the hungry, returns the debtor's pledge, loves what is right, hates wickedness, pride, and the proud way, hates all things that are contrary to God's word and way. Now, when we get to the New Testament, we're going to see that Jesus, who is the fulfillment, not the doing away with, the law is spiritual. That's what the New Testament tells us. People say, well, you're in the law. Yeah, the law is spiritual. And trust me, if you're not spiritual, you won't obey and keep the law. So in Matthew chapter 5, we see Jesus, and seeing the multitudes, he went into a mountain. Now, you know these probably as the Beatitudes. These are actually the description of they that are going to reign and rule in the world to come. And seeing the multitudes, he went into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth, and he taught them, and he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, if you didn't have Old Testament teaching, you'd think this is people that look down at the ground and walk, you know, in false humility, and we've got to have poor spirits. No. They recognize their spiritual poverty. Without these influences by God and His Word, we are all spiritually bankrupt. Every man would do that is right in their own eye. So we recognize our total dependence upon the Spirit of God. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn. They're grieved because of the community's spiritual poverty. For they shall be comforted. With much knowledge comes much sorrow. That's Scripture. Blessed are the meek. They'll inherit the earth. What's meek? Power under control. Moses being the meekest man, he was strong enough to kill an Egyptian. He was strong enough to run off 7 shepherds to help some women at a well. You didn't mess with Moses. I'll just tell you that right now. If you ever got him mad, he'd hurt you. God's men have always been men of war. Always. He doesn't pick pacifists. But they are men that are meek. In other words, they have power, but they don't use it. Are you with me? Okay. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. That says it all. What are you here for today? Because you love the Lord and you're wanting to enter into that kingdom and live in that kingdom forever, and you're wanting to yield your will to His will. Now, you know what's heartbreaking, without getting off into preaching, what's heartbreaking is when you see what we are glorifying in the earth today. We are glorifying every ungodly thing in our movies and TV. We're not glorifying righteousness. We're not glorifying character. As a matter of fact, we make fun of anyone. And I'm just going to tell you right now, you're living at the pivotal point. I believe it is now turned. I believe we have made the turn to where you're going to be looked at by your friends as you try to follow righteousness as ridiculous, as narrow-minded, as foolish and uneducated. That's why it's faith. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, this is a big sign of righteousness. You know, the more secure people are, the more insecure they are, the more dangerous they are. But the more secure people are in their faith, the less they have to beat you over the head and try to convince you theirs is the only way. When you become secure, you just get easy. And okay, you believe that. It doesn't change. I know why I believe what I believe. Your opinion isn't going to sway me because it's built on the Word. I mean, I'm not responding to that. But when you look, and we don't have time, but when you look at how Jesus dealt with the righteous ones, they were the Pharisees, versus the sinner, with those who hadn't made up their mind yet which way they were going to go, you see he was tough on the Pharisees because they demanded justice. Stone her. Do this. Do that. But the truth of the matter is, when you go back and you study the Old Testament, what you find out is these were the laws, but God turned around. He had cities of refuge. God has always had a merciful way to people that had a repentant heart.
Yes.
And a sign of my righteousness is what? A sign of my righteousness is I'm merciful. You're merciful. You're not here to pass judgment. My God, how can I pass judgment on anybody when I know what I've done and what I've been forgiven of? What am I going to judge you? Let's get off it. All right. So here we go. So blessed are the pure in heart. They are working toward inner purity. Listen, you can't put trash in and have gold out. Blessed are the peacemakers. These are the signs of the Zadokim, the righteous people. What's one of the signs of the kingdom? Righteousness, peace, turmoil. I'll tell you what. You get a couple of people together, and I swear to goodness, you get enough of them together and there'll be turmoil unless they're all walking in the Spirit. There will always be three turn against one and one this. And I don't mean physically, but let me get off it. You know what I'm talking about? Office politics, political system, that comes from insecure people. Let us prove how much better we are than this person because we can judge them and they don't know what I know. And they do this, or they eat pork, or they this, or they that. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And that is happening as we speak. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12 says, God says, I wish that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Now we know how to walk worthy of God. Revelations 19:11. And I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he does judge and he does make war. This concludes lesson 10. We will move on into lesson 11 next Sunday, and we will cover the second portion of the kingdom, which is peace.